I'm very thankful this morning for grace. Lord willing, this will be the last message of this series, but I hope and trust that victory will go on and on and on in our lives. And I guess, have you ever seen a child before they go somewhere or do something and they say, I'm so excited? You ever heard that? And they're just so excited. I am really excited about the message this morning. Is that all right? And the reason I'm excited about it, I've been meditating and thinking about it through the week, and that was the word that came to me. I'm excited about this, not just because of the message in and of itself, but because of the reality of what we want to look at and share this morning. We've been talking about the spirit of victory. Now, Vanessa made a comment the other day in worship. We kind of talk about, you know, messages and camp meetings and all these things. And she said, I don't know that I like, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not sure I like series. Because she said the preachers just repeat themselves over and over and over. You know, that sometimes that's true. I try not to do that too much other than just a recap as we go forward. So at the expense of repeating myself, we want to have a spirit of victory. We do not want to have a spirit of defeat. We don't want to have an attitude of, I can't do it, because we are on the Lord's side this morning. And with faith in God, and with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of our testimony, and a consecration that we love God more than anything else, we can and we will overcome the enemy no matter what battle we face. But we'd like to conclude this morning, we are able to have and maintain a spirit of victory not because of what we have done. Not because I got the right genes. Not because I got the right genetic predisposition. Not because, well, I took more after my mom than my dad or vice versa. But because of the grace of God. Grace, by definition, is receiving what we do not deserve. All right? Now, judgment is when you get what you deserve. That's judgment. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. When someone says, okay, I'll have mercy, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. But grace is when you are given something that you did not deserve and you did not earn. And that is why the theological word that people say, it's the unmerited grace of God. It's unmerited. In other words, it's unearned. It's undeserved. Now, how many of us here deserve God's blessings in our life? Anybody? Is anybody here so good or so strong of a character that you can overcome yourself every single time? None of us, right? So then, when the Lord comes along and we are being tested and we are being tried, and the Lord enables us to do what we cannot naturally do, that is what grace is. Grace is, by definition now, the unmerited favor of God. Y'all heard that term used frequently? Unmerited favor. And you say, what does that mean? I mean, this is, we can try to sound all pompous and the unmerited favor. What does that mean? It means when God gives you what you don't deserve. I need God to give me what I don't deserve because I can never do it so perfectly that the Lord says, all right, Michael, you are being holy enough that I'm going to give you something that... No. Grace is when God looks down and has mercy and love and compassion and He sees us in our needs with our struggles and He said, I'm going to help you out. That's what grace is. And I am so thankful and I am excited because of the grace of God that still works today. Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under what? Under grace. Now, the scripture says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Under the law, they were in bondage to it. But that wasn't all. They did not have the ability to overcome themselves under the law. We'll offer our sacrifices, and we'll ask God to forgive us, and we'll go home and we'll do the same thing we've done year after year. That was living under the law. But I am thankful we are not under the law anymore. Folks, let's not live as if we are under the law. If you are living as if you are under the law, saying, I just can't help it, you have a law mentality. Why did Jesus even came if we can't have dominion over sin? He did more than just save us the inconvenience of offering an animal sacrifice. He came to give us something in our life that we didn't earn and we didn't deserve. So, young people and children, never think that I can just never be good enough to be accepted by the Lord. I can just never quite earn that approval from the Lord, and I'm always falling short. Jesus loves you as you are, but His grace will enable you to rise above the needs and the struggles that might have kept you pressed down for so long. Grace can give you a spirit of victory this morning. That when you face the battles of life, I can't do it. We say, wait, that sounds defeatist. Not if you keep going. I can't do it, but by the grace of God, I can do it. I can't do it in my own self. Folks, if we want God's grace to work in our life, we need to acknowledge we can't do it by ourselves. There are too many arrogant, self-righteous Christians, and then on the outside they appear righteous, and then you start hearing about things that are going on in their life, and it's like, wait, what's the matter? They're too proud to get the grace of God. And so they struggle year after year. And you all probably know some of them. They probably call themselves saints and they're self-righteous. We cannot get God's favor being self-righteous, folks. If we think, well, I have spiritually arrived now. I've been in this way for nigh unto 40 years. And you know what? I have. But you know what? I am desperate for God to do something in my life. And I'm talking about beyond the trip to the altar when I got saved. That was the beginning of God bestowing grace and forgiving me of my sin. But you know, the next day I needed God's grace to enable me to stay faithful. So you are not under, we are not under dominion of sin anymore because we're not under the law. We're under grace. We're in a dispensation that the Lord looks on us with favor and says, let me help you out. But if we deny the Lord's help, or we're too arrogant to acknowledge that, you know what, I'm really struggling. I'm going to be spiritual. And all the time we're struggling and needing assistance and help, but we want to cover it up, and, you know, we can cover it up with modesty. We can cover it up by testifying. We can cover it up by coming to camp meeting and acting like we're all on fire, but I'm talking about the way we live our lives daily. We need the grace of God. Lord, I desperately need your help in my life. But the good news is we are under grace this morning. The good news is the things that might have had you in bondage and the things the devil has tried to hold over your head that you have not been able to change for years, through all of the things we've looked at in this series of messages, we can conclude with something that will go with us every single day, and that's the grace of God. That even if I start feeling defeated in myself, it's like, wait a minute, I serve a risen Savior, and He is the one that said, I'm going to give you grace. Thank the Lord for that divine influence. Grace is also divine influence. Have you ever been in a real trial or temptation, and the Lord just came through when you felt the presence of God and it just strengthened you to stand firm? That's grace. Grace is also influence. And that is what He gives to us. That's what enables us to overcome ourselves. It's the influence of God in our life. Because otherwise, what influence are we under? The flesh. Desires of the flesh. We tend to be reactionary, right? We tend to be reactionary. But when we are under the influence of Christ, the influence of the Holy Spirit, His presence in my life enables me to rise above myself. That, yeah, the flesh is pulling this way, and the Lord is here surrounding me with His love and His power and His strength. And I have the option then to say yes to the Lord, and I can rise above myself. Isn't that wonderful? There is an answer, folks, to Christians, and I'm not talking about unsaved now. There is an answer to Christians that have lived in a state of perpetual failure. The answer is the grace of God. So, the Scripture says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved." Through what? Through faith. You have to believe. To have a spirit of victory this morning, we have to believe it is possible. Not through my own goodness, but it is possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that, what? Not of yourself. Why? Lest any man should boast, I earn my salvation. I have done this, and I have done that, and I've given this, and I've sacrificed that. Have you ever met people that went through that list? You ask them how they're doing, or are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Yeah, I've done this, this, and this, but that's not what I ask. Are you saved? We do not have the ability to save ourselves. But with grace, we are saved by grace through faith. And folks, if we ever start boasting about where we're at spiritually, we're going to boast ourselves right outside of grace. Because God's influence works with what kind of a spirit? An humble spirit. That's where the power of God's grace works. And it is illustrated so well, and I know I have shared it, and I'm sure you all have read it and heard it many times. We're not going to belabor it, but we sang the song Amazing Grace. Do you know that still excites me when I really think about it? The song itself is, it's old and it's, you know, but when you stop, and you reflect on what it's saying, it is amazing grace. It's spectacular grace. It's awesome grace. It just spreads wide, and it's just awe-inspiring. That's what God's grace is. Because God's grace does what we cannot do. And the man that wrote that, you know the history, John Newton, he was a despicable man. Despicable. He was a slave trader. There was a time in his life that he was beaten and flogged and almost a slave, almost in slavery himself. And he had gone to sea at age 11 years old. His mother died when he was 6 or 7 and went to sea at 11, was pressed into the Royal Navy, went through many things. He was very degenerate man. And then he got into slave trading. He was a very profane person, cussed and coarse and in a very evil lifestyle. And as you remember, in 1748, when his ship began to sink, and I believe the story was he was in the water, if I'm not mistaken, but he was in it, his life was at stake, and the Lord spoke to his heart. And he said yes to the Lord. He did nothing to deserve salvation. This was a man that had followed all of the wickedness of the flesh, all of the debauchery, all of the things that are out in the world. And he was, if you want to talk about someone being under the influence of Satan, it was John Newton. But when he cried out to the Lord heard his prayer. And later he penned the words of that song, Amazing Grace. That amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There's another verse, and I don't have it in front of me, that says, 'Twas grace that brought me, that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Keep going with it. I was one, the one that taught has brought me safe this far. And grace will what? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home. Do you know that's the joy of this service this morning? You are here this morning because God helped you get here. We are here. You may say, but Brother Michael, you don't know what I'm struggling with. I don't know what all of you are struggling with, but I know this. I know there's been some victories here too. And we are here not because we earned it, but because God had mercy on us. And He said, I'm going to give you what you didn't deserve. I'm going to enable you to overcome some things in your life. And it is the grace of God that will enable us to go forward this morning with a smile on our face and saying, Lord, I can do it by Your grace, by Your help. I can do it. We are so undeserving of it. Do you remember Paul over in 2 Corinthians 12:9? Very familiar passage. When Paul was seeking the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh. Anybody here have a thorn in the flesh? Now, what is the thorn in the flesh? It might be someone in your life that just is a real trial to you. Seems like they just won't go away. You know? It might be someone. It might be a personality, something about your personality. How many of us here chose our personalities? I told Renee just yesterday about mentioned someone. I said, yeah, I said there, and I mentioned the family name. Because there's a trait that runs through that you can see in the children and you can see in different people's lives and it's a family trait. You know, I have family traits. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. I've got some Murphy in me, James. I've got some Smith. I've got some other things. I've got some traits that I didn't choose it. The Lord didn't give me a list and say, all right, Michael, what kind of personality you want? I was born with it. But you know, God gave all of us our personalities. And that means that with whatever personality you have, there is a place that you can have victory in Jesus Christ. Because I know many times people struggle with the fact that it's just, I am unique. And no one else has to struggle with these problems like I do. I've got news for us this morning. There are people that struggle with things just like you do. And if I take the mentality, though, well, my dad was this way and my grandpa was this way and I just can't help it. Oh, no, that's a defeatist attitude. But it's not going to always change my personality, but the Lord can take our personality and fit it in under His umbrella of grace that I can be like Christ. If you're someone that tends to maybe be impatient, do you know there's grace for you? You say, well, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to be a totally different person. It doesn't mean that you can never come to a place that you just don't struggle anymore or have to be on guard. But there is a place that God can help us to grow. There are some people that have a short fuse. Do you know anybody like that? There, my wife, yeah, and Vanessa, they were somewhere in town a couple days ago, and they saw a man that his dog ran away from him outside in the parking lot of the library. And he just started yelling, and a car almost hit it, and he just started yelling, and then he stopped, and his poor wife walked out of the library, and he lit into her in front of everybody. Just started yelling and stomping and screaming like a child, uncontrolled. And then he went and she got in and he slammed her car door with both his hands and then he walked around and slammed his car door and then he opened up and took trash that must have been the car and just started throwing it out in the parking lot. And his wife got out, bless her heart, and walked over and started picking up all the trash and then the dog ran out of the car again and took off. Do you know that I believe that there is power for that kind of man to control his temper and bring that under subjection to Christ? There are some people that are ready to blow up. Don't cross them. And there are people you know that way. Don't cross them. You can go so far and then you're going to cross the line and they lose it. And you learn to walk on eggshells. Don't cross them or else they're going to get offended. What about offended? Well, you know there's grace for that. If you're someone that people have to walk, don't be careful. You know, they're kind of in a bad mood and you'll offend them. Come to service, things don't go just right, or on the workplace, don't, you know, you have to be really careful or we'll get offended. There is grace for that, saints. It doesn't mean if your personality is easily affected by other people, that's not wrong. We're born with those things sometimes. But there is grace. In other words, there is a power that God can give to you that you didn't earn or deserve that will enable you to begin to grow, that you're not so easily offended. And then down the road, you'll be even less easily offended. You know, the Lord can make our weak places strong. And that's why Paul said when he sought the Lord with a thorn in the flesh, he said, God spoke to him and he said, My grace is sufficient. It's enough. Do we believe God's grace is sufficient? Well, but you don't know my problem. I don't know your problem, but I do know grace. And I know what grace has done for my problems. And that's not all past tense either. I know what it is doing for my problems. It's amazing, isn't it? Why should we feel defeated? We've got a power. It's something that God, and we don't deserve it. That's a good thing. I didn't deserve it, but Lord said, oh, poor Michael. Let me help you out. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I need help again. The Lord wants to give us this grace. So he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, and so that's why Paul was able to say, when I am weak, then what? Then am I strong. You want to be strong this morning? Recognize your weakness. Don't have a pity party. Don't just, oh, I just can't do it, and I just don't have, I'm just nothing, and I'm not worth anything, and I just, no, not that. But to recognize that, Lord, I'm really struggling, and I've tried, and I'm just not getting, Lord, I need some help. Would you help me? And the Lord's saying, you know what, my grace is. The Lord wants to bless people's marriages with greater grace. Do you know that? There is an element of grace, of temperance in our attitudes and in our speech and in our reactions. There is grace that God wants to give us. When you young people, when you're facing temptation and it is so strong, do you know the Scripture says that He will make a way of escape? That way of escape, now sometimes if you have the ability, you need to turn and flee sometimes. But there are some things that you can't help. It's in life. But there is grace to give you an escape that, Lord, by your strength, I can say no to that. Even when you're struggling. Thank the Lord for His grace. Let's stay dependent on it, folks. The grace of God is that which gives us power and temptation. It's that which picks us up after failure. You may say, but if you have grace, how can you ever fail? Well, we are still human, right? And if you cut me, I'm still going to bleed. And you know what? You still might have the power to hurt me. And you might also push to a place that my flesh is wanting to respond. But if I can recognize that, I can bring the wounds and the hurts and the natural responses of my flesh, and I can say, Lord, I need help. And God will give us grace. You know what I've also found about grace that is kind of ironic? It's not really about grace, it's more about us. I have found sometimes it is easier, and we'll just say have grace, but to respond in more difficult situations than sometimes the smaller things of life. You know that? I know I used an example that last Sunday morning at Myrtle, but I think it was then. You know, someone backed into my car And it was like, you know what? I wish it wouldn't have happened, but there was grace for that. It happened. It's the Lord's. Then go through fast food and you have to sit there for 15 minutes? That annoyed me more than someone doing $2,000 worth of damage on the car. Now, how much sense does that make? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know it's not just the big major events that God wants to give His grace in? The Lord wants you children to be patient with your brother and sister. If your brother and sister does something that annoys you, God has grace for you to treat them nicely and kindly. That's for you children. You young people, what about married folks? Parents with children, children with parents, one with another in the congregation. Sometimes things can be more annoying when they're so insignificant. And it can just change your day. Have you ever been annoyed at something really insignificant and just put you kind of in a bad mood? Do you know there's grace for that? So what do we have to do? We first have to acknowledge it. Okay, I'm feeling pretty annoyed. Is it that big of a deal? Whether it is or not, you know what? Lord, I need some help here. Because I'm feeling a little grumpy about this situation. Anybody here ever felt grumpy? All right, one. All right. Do you realize that there is grace? But I want to tell you, we do have something to do with it. Because grace is not deserved. Grace is not earned. But there is something that we have to do if we want this influence of the Lord in our life. In the book of James in the 4th chapter, don't lose your excitement now. At least I was excited about this. I hope you are too. The scripture says, but He giveth more grace. So I don't know what measure of grace you have had, but I know this, there is more grace for you. There is more grace for you in your marriage. There is more grace for you as a parent. There is more grace for you as a grandparent. There is more grace for you with you children, with your brothers and sisters. Young people, if you're struggling with the enemy or struggling in your mind, there is more grace for you than what you've had. There is an endless supply that can meet every need of our life. And if the flesh gets too much preeminence and you find yourself in a place of failure, do we throw our hands up and say, I just can't do it? No, it is this spirit of victory that will enable us to say, Lord, I fell and I messed up. And you know what? I dare say someone in this congregation within just a few hours is going to be a little bit too impatient with someone in your family. Am I wrong? You think someone might just very well, between now and before everybody goes to bed tonight, that someone might just possibly speak a word that's a little impatient or maybe not as kind as it ought to be? So if you do, if you're that one, are we going to throw our hands up and say, well, it doesn't work for me? No, God has more grace for you. And it is His grace that will reach down to you in your failure. If you will acknowledge what you did and say, Lord, I want to do better than this. Maybe you've got a pattern of some every day. Grace can make it be every other day. And if it once is every other day, then Lord, can you, I need it. Now it's once a week. Then it's once a month. You know, see, there's growth now. It doesn't mean that overnight everything is just, but there is an influence of the Lord that will enable us to grow. Now, I don't want to be so excited about this that we keep you all too long. But He said He gives more grace, for God resisteth who? The proud. But He gives grace to who? The humble. Humble yourselves, therefore. That's what I need to do. God will not influence the proud. He will not bestow on us what we don't deserve if we are proud and haughty. There are some people, I know I mentioned a few weeks ago, it is amazing to me the people that just can't say, I was wrong. Have you ever met someone like that? They can mess up so bad or treat you so badly and they can't come back and say, I'm sorry. They might do good to you and think, just kind of cover it all up. But the Lord, if we're going to grow, folks, we've got to acknowledge the needs in our life. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So that's our answer this morning. Humble yourself That's your choice. So, do you know this is really practical though? Because have you ever been in a conflict with someone? You call it a discussion. Say, saints don't fight, they discuss. And really, saints shouldn't fight. Because when there's grace, you don't. You can discuss and you can disagree. But you know, in marriages, you know, you can disagree with grace. You can have a difference of opinion with grace. It's possible, saints. It works. I can tell you it works. But I've noticed something. Being in a discussion where something could have a lot of possibility to be upsetting. Anybody ever here been tempted to be upset? All right. And I have noticed that you say, well, does grace always work? I have found it does always work. Every single time. But I have to let it work. And I have to just, sometimes if you feel yourself that something could be upsetting, you have to stop and consciously humble yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I am really close to that line that I'm feeling upset or I'm going to be impatient or I'm going to say something that I probably shouldn't. And I have found that there's a measure of grace that brings us to that place of recognition that we're really close to erring. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just being really practical here. But I found that influence is there. And it doesn't matter how difficult the situation, you know, I've been in some really tough places, folks. It doesn't matter how unfair or unjust something is. There's a place that says, Lord, I really need some help here. My flesh is wanting to stand up and defend some. But Lord, just help me quiet down in my spirit and I need some help. And God gives you something that just enables you, even in disagreement and difference of opinion, the Lord enables you to maintain your integrity with God. And it was because we stopped and consciously said, Lord, help me to humble myself to you. And you know what normally happens when we humble ourselves to God? Victory. But what if someone else is involved? Do you know that when we start humbling ourselves to God, you will find the grace that almost a fruit of it is you can start humbling yourself to the person that was being such a trial to you. Because now I'm just humbled in my spirit, and it's so much easier than just to forgive and let go. And that's what God's grace does, folks. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Isn't that something? Mercy first. Come to the throne of grace. That's where God's going to give us stuff. But when we come, He says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. That's mercy. But we can find grace to help us in time of need. So in closing this morning, I would point us back to Caleb. When he went in, they were in Canaan land, and he was going to get his inheritance. And he was an old man. I believe, was he 85 years old? And he looked at the mountain and he said, give me this mountain. But he went on to say, if the Lord be with me, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm putting words in his mouth now. But that's what he in essence was saying. If the Lord be with me, yes, give me that mountain. So this morning, I don't know what mountains everybody is facing. I know you have them just like I do. And I know that maybe next week or next year, you're going to face some new mountains in your life, and it might seem impossible, or you may be down on yourself today because of your past failures. But let us go with joy in our heart today, with a spring in our step, in having a spirit of victory, because there is a grace that is sufficient and can work adequately in the needs of our life on a daily basis. Amen. Maybe we could sing the last two verses of Amazing Grace.